back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to Beloit. Beloit, Tony Evers has signed off on a casino, gambling casino in Beloit, to be run and owned by the Ho-Chunk Nation. It's going to cost $405 million to put it together. It'll result in 1,500 permanent jobs. 1,500 permanent jobs. 2,000 construction jobs, good wage construction jobs to build it. There'll be a 300-room hotel. There'll be 40,000 square feet of an indoor water park on a total of 73 acres. And now the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which controls all of this, has to sign off on it. And it has to take into federal trust about 25 acres, which would be the equivalent of a reservation. So they would be protected from any interference by anybody other than the federal government. And the law leaves this decision to the governor of a state. The legislature has no ability to stop it. Robin Voss is opposed to it, opposed to anything having to do with Indians, but there's not much he can do. Tony Evers can do this. And Tony Evers, when he was running for governor in the general election against Scott Walker in 2018, announced this is what he would do. There is going to be some turbulence down in Rockford, which is about 20, 25 miles from Beloit. A Hard Rock casino may go in. You know, a lot of states, it's not just Indian gaming. I mean, there's other gaming. But nevertheless, by having it in Beloit, that'll draw from Janesville, it'll draw from Rockford, it'll draw from Illinois, draw from Madison. It's a very lucrative opportunity for the Ho-Chunk. And I'm glad that this is happening. And I'll tell you why. It's not just a good thing from an employment point of view. But Native Americans have been so badly treated for so long. They're among the best veterans we have in the military, most patriotic people we have, strongly pro-American. They are Americans, American citizens, but they've been isolated and they have been demeaned. And one sad truth of democracy and one sad truth of society in general is that if you have money, you have some status, and people pay attention to you and you can get into the power structure. If you don't have money, no matter who you are, what you do, no matter how much people may pretend or say, yeah, well, I feel bad for you, I'm going to help you, you're always on the demeaning part of that relationship, and you truly do not have any power. So Indian gaming was a stroke of genius to get money, cash, into the hands of people who didn't have it. And they distributed scholarships for the kids, houses, although frequently on reservations because of segregationist attitudes and so on. But the more people have money, the more possibility is that they have power. They can contribute to political campaigns. And ultimately, it's the cash key that was needed to start breaking into the assimilation of Native Americans in this country. The one suggestion I would make, because this is an issue that I have been involved in, I've been involved in the litigation of it, and I've been involved politically in meeting with tribes, the sovereign nations. So everybody in general seems to think, okay, well, they're Native Americans and they're all the same. Well, they're not all the same. They're all sovereign independent nations. And up until through the 19th century, they fought among themselves as viciously as Europeans did in the 17th and 18th centuries. Then you had France, Germany, you had factions within Germany fighting each other. France and England fought each other for centuries, Spain. So human beings are human beings. And the people in the Native American community who get this cash tend to be tribes that could show that they had an ancestral presence in that area. So, for instance, the Forest County Potawatomi, even though they're up in Forest County at one time, were in Milwaukee, and that's why they have this, the casino in Milwaukee, the Pottawatomie Casino. There is no legal requirement or no actual requirement that a tribe that lands a big casino has to share any of it with poorer tribes. So some of the poorer tribes, the Lacouture up in Hayward and some of them in central Wisconsin will have casinos, but they have nowhere near the cash harvest potential of the Pottawatomie in Milwaukee or now the Ho-Chunk down in Beloit. So one of the things I would like to see, and because in the matter of Indian gaming and any Indian affairs, you cannot, under the law, make a contract with an Indian tribe that is enforceable unless the Bureau of Indian Affairs signs off on it, because they've been treated and mistreated so often. So some business will make the mistake of signing a contract. They can't enforce it. Bureau of Indian Affairs hasn't signed off on it. Bureau of Indian Affairs is the 800-pound gorilla. So it would have to come from them, but I would like to see a fund set up from Indian gaming and a much more substantial amount than may occur right now that's shared with poorer tribes around Wisconsin. Either don't have a casino or can't show that they had an ancestral presence. The Menominee tried to open one in Kenosha. Walker stopped it. The Menominee are good people. They deserve some relief as well. One way to do it might be, you know, a casino in Kenosha would conflict with Pottawatomie in Milwaukee. I get it. But all of those tribes are human beings, and all of those tribes are Native American, more to the point. And all of those tribes have been very badly treated for much of their history. And I would like to see some sharing arrangement with the poorer tribes. Subject to that comment, though, I think this is great. 2,000 construction jobs in Beloit, 1,500 permanent jobs, big hotel, convention hotel, a nice indoor water park, good for tourism, good for economic activity in Beloit. So very, very glad to see it. One development that is fascinating, and some would say long overdue, but there are some caveats. The House Foreign Affairs Committee has approved legislation that would repeal the nearly 20-year-old Iraqi War Resolution. The Iraqi War Resolution, rammed through by George W. Bush, his administration lied about weapons of mass destruction of Saddam Hussein. The nuclear inspectors from Europe internationally had not finished their work, and they hadn't found any weapons of mass destruction. In fact, Saddam Hussein had none. But George W. Bush was sinking in the polls. Most people don't remember this, but after he got elected, in that crooked election where they threw out the Florida recount of the Florida vote, that ultimately in further review showed that Gore won Florida, and he certainly won the popular vote by over 500,000 votes nationwide. George W. Bush was put in as president, even though he hadn't won the election. And not only that, a lot of stories surfaced at the time that he had used cocaine. And they asked him about it, and he's quite sly about it. He said, "I have not used cocaine since my father was elected vice president." His father was elected vice president in 1980. Bush was born in 1946. So he used it up till he was 34 years old. Jay Leno, some of you are too young to remember Jay Leno, but he used to be a night show host. And Jay Leno used to do these kind of fake historical videos and interviews, and they're funny as a crutch. And one of them, you see a black limousine with the presidential flag coming up, and out steps Bush, and behind him, a cloud of white powder just comes out, kind of gagging everybody and making them sneeze. And everybody laughed. He was seen basically as a druggie and a wastrel who snuck his way in. He had to do something. 9/11 came along. That was not his fault. Although, quite frankly, there were plenty of warning. I mean, he could have started to do more security around airports, but so be it. It happened. He invades Afghanistan because he has to, because Osama bin Laden is there directing this stuff. But he has to look around for bigger fish, and he gins up a war against Saddam Hussein, who did not have weapons of mass destruction. And a lot of people got in trouble for their vote supporting that. Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, and others did, because Bush said there were weapons of mass destruction there. A lot of Bernie Sanders didn't, you know, but the point is, that's ancient history. So the Foreign Affairs Committee goes, all right, we're going to withdraw that resolution. We're going to repeal it. Okay, that's fine. What does that do to our military operations in the Middle East? One of the healthy results of this may be, we're not going to do perpetual wars like in Afghanistan or here. There has to be some restraint. On the other hand, under the Constitution, the president can certainly protect us. If there's a launch of a missile, the president has to respond. It's as simple as that. He has to respond. And, you know, in the 18th century, if you wanted to go to war, you would say, okay, we want to draft, you know, 10,000 soldiers and then go invade Europe or whatever, and you have time. Here, you have a missile right down your throat. Right down your throat. You have a missile right down your throat. He has to preempt that missile. He has to respond. So I don't think it's going to change very much. But what it may do is, if he thinks that he has to build troops back up in Iraq, and I hope he does not, he will have to consult at least with the leadership in the House. I think that's a favorable development. The problem is, beware of what you ask for, because you have people in the House who frankly hate the United States. I mean, the QAnon crowd, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, are these right-wing nuts that basically attack the United States. And frankly, on the left, you have Ilhan Omar, who shows a deep-seated hatred for liberal democracy. And she's on the Foreign Relations Committee. I don't want these people determining our foreign policy. Unfortunately, they're on there. Some of them are, not all of them. But that's where you have it right now. So this is an initial, Gregory Meeks of New York is the chairman. This is an initial favorable development, but it has to be monitored. The lines are alive. We're going to a break. Please do not hang up. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up on the lines. I see you, and I will get to you immediately after the break.